helping your child succeed in school. Well, here's another interesting dilemma for parents. Can we really help our kids do well in school, or are there born academics and born non-academics? We'd like to think that we have so much control over our kids that we can help them achieve anything. And, you know, we do have some influence on our children. I don't want to say that we don't. But the truth is that our children come with really ready-made abilities and ready-made disabilities. So the truth is that there are some children who are naturally academic. They don't need us to help them succeed in school because they're just ready for school. They're readers, they're mathematicians, they love to study, they're organized, they like doing their homework, they like their teachers, they like learning, they like having things in early, they like getting great marks, they get good marks, and they sail through school. With those children, you know, they just need the most minute amount of encouragement from us. In other words, it's good if we give them a little positive feedback along the way, that we want to show them that, yes, it does matter to us, and we're happy, we're pleased that they're doing well and that we value it. You know, I guess there's a mistake that somebody might make somewhere, just taking it for granted and maybe focusing too much on the child's little imperfections within that area. So the child may have a very good overall academic average, but then some parent focuses on why he only got a B plus on some subject. You know, that kind of old-fashioned mistake. I think it's an old-fashioned mistake, because I think most modern parents do know the basic principle of giving positive attention to positive accomplishments. But in case, you know, you weren't familiar with that one, let me say it here. If the child is doing well, you should give them attention also, okay? We don't want to only give attention when a child is doing poorly, because attention does reinforce behavior, meaning it encourages the behavior you're attending to. So if your kid finds school easy, that's great. If your kid finds school difficult and you want to help your child to succeed, we need to think a little bit more carefully about what it is we want to reinforce here. Because, as I just said a moment ago, you definitely don't want to reinforce school problems. And attending to school problems can reinforce them, as attending to anything can reinforce whatever you're attending to. Let me put it this way. What do you want, right? When we say we want our child to succeed in school, I think a lot of the time we're really saying, I want my child to be successful in life, and I see school as a venue to that success. Now, we need to realize that school could be a venue to success in life, but it certainly isn't the only venue to success in life. We must break out of the thought that the only way a person can possibly be successful academically, socially, emotionally, in every which way, is if that person gets an A average, you know, all the way through school. We have to get rid of that notion. School, first of all, only taps into a small proportion of our intelligence. There's a certain kind of learning that goes on in the school environment. Unfortunately, we're there for, 13 to 20, like how many years? Like 13 years, maybe 12 years of elementary, preschool, elementary school, high school, and then it could be another 10 years, 5 to 10 years, or 4 to 10 years, whatever, of post-high school learning, you know, all kinds of learning that people are doing. But that academic learning requires one part of the brain to function really well, the part that takes in information and can regurgitate it, you know, in the acceptable fashion. Out-of-the-box thinkers, creative thinkers, people who have trouble sitting and taking in boring information, they may be very, very bright and very, very competent, but not in academic stuff, okay? Their strengths lie elsewhere. And as long as somebody doesn't squash their confidence terribly, then they can use those strengths to be ultra successful in the world. We've seen and we continue to see many very wealthy entrepreneurs who, as far as school went, they were absolute duds, right? But as long as they came out of school feeling, I can, I have abilities, I'm a good person, I can think, I can problem solve, I can accomplish things, if they manage to get out of school with that attitude, they will still be able to be very successful. But if a child comes out of school with the attitude, I can't, I don't know, I'm not good at, the others are better, well, that child's going to have a very handicapping attitude that could cripple him, heaven forbid, for the rest of his life. So that we want to prevent that. So if our child is not academically inclined, that doesn't mean that the child isn't competent or bright or skilled, and we have to find where the child's strengths lie and help that child. Let's go through a few academic type issues and see, you know, where could we step in. Let's say a child is a good reader and he likes books. Well, we can certainly foster his love of reading by bringing him books. Go to the library, bring a ton of books, and let that child soar. That's great. What if the child doesn't enjoy reading? And we know that the ability to learn is going to be important to him lifelong. Reading is one way that a person can learn, but nowadays there's many, many, many more ways that a person can learn. We're not tied to books. So keep in mind the underlying goal, that you want your child to develop the feeling that he can learn, and you want him to develop an attitude of curiosity so that he'll want to continue learning, develop an attitude of love of learning. So if the child does not like to read, or who he has trouble reading, then you can bring all those books home and read to the child if he enjoys listening to them. And if he enjoys listening on to things that you have little bit less time, then you can bring home books on tape and let the books on tape read to him. You can bring home graphic novels, because that's a whole big industry. Now we have all sorts of history books and information books on that have been done graphically to help kids who don't have the skills or the patience or the interest to go through tons and tons of words. They'll go through words and pictures and pick up an awful lot of information. There are videos, movies, there's other media, right? And on the computer, depends on what you're bringing into your house, but you can select educational and informative venues to bring to materials to bring into your house and expose your child to the world of knowledge and information, and let your child know that it's fun to acquire information. There's also board games, trivia type games that, again, require less reading skill, but can give a big punch in terms of the amount of information the child can learn. Here we're trying to establish that there's more than one way to acquire information. There's more than one way to reach out for information. So we want to show the child information is all around us, and it's fun, it's accessible, it's for this child as well. We don't want the child to ever feel like, oh, I can't learn things, I'm too dumb, that's for other people. We want each child to feel excited about acquiring new skills and new information all the time. So in the world of reading, it's really about information to a certain extent, but there are skills building books also, that pick up a book and learn how to make something, do something, cook something. You know, there's all kinds of things like that. And some of those books actually are easier for non-readers to work with because they're more step-by-step with diagrams and not big, long, endless pages of words. So that's another thing. Try variety in book style and see if that doesn't open up the world of learning in a positive way for your child. Now, this doesn't matter if your child is getting poor marks in reading at school, but he knows that he can learn. You know, that's the most important thing, right? It doesn't matter if he comes out with a C or worse, as long as he knows that he can learn information and that he knows information. You'll be wanting to give him feedback with your own words, your own labels, so that when the child has shown that he picked up a piece of information, however he got it, you want to point out to that child that that was perspicacious of him, that he noticed something, that it was smart, it was clever, that it was creative. You know, find the words that you can use to point out your child's intelligence, and remembering that there's many kinds of intelligences, so you want to highlight that for your child. Well, let's say your child isn't good with numbers. He doesn't do well on his math test, and he's having trouble learning whatever in the routine things in mathematics. Still, you want your child to feel comfortable with the world of numbers. Is there another way to have him leave your home after 20 years feeling that numbers are his friends? Well, there's lots of different things that the child can do. Learning to cook and measure things, learning various skills like building things that require measurement, learning a musical instrument, knitting, learning how to do certain kinds of puzzles like Sudoku, card games. Bring numbers and arithmetic thinking into the child's world, the world of logical numbers and equations, in whichever way you want to. It doesn't have to be a textbook in school. And when the kid, you know, again, gets those low marks on his math test, don't comment about it. You know, it's not important. I'll tell you, making a child feel bad about his marks is really not a good idea, because children are in schools and they know that there's an A, a B, a C, a D, or 100%, an 80%, a 60%, however the grades are. They know there are grades. There is feedback in the school system. It is a human tendency to want to succeed. That's how Hashem made us. We want to do well. When a child gets a C, he's not happy about that. He sees that his friend got a B or an A or whatever it is. Every child wants to do well. So there's no need to make the child feel even worse by pointing out to him that he's doing poorly, that he could do better, that this isn't good enough, and all of that negative attention. Negative attention to the learning problem. Instead, put your attention onto what the child can do. And if he figured out one difficult problem on a math test, and even though the overall score was low, highlight that the child did solve that problem, and that was a tricky one, and that you're pretty pleased with that. And don't even say anything about the poor performance on the other part, because contrary to what you might think, it's not going to motivate your child to do better. Okay? The child, we all go from success to success. Just highlight what the child is doing well in school, and let him know in a million different ways that you think he's got lots of capabilities. So whatever the child is even building with his building toys, which involves all sorts of calculations and mathematical reasoning, you can tell the child that it's great that he figured that out, that he's a little engineer, that, I'm talking to a young child now, right? or even an older child, say, wow, you know, you've got architectural abilities there. Maybe you're going to be an engineer one day. And planting confidence-building concepts into the child's mind there, so that you're telling him, I believe in you, I think you can do things. And let the child feel optimistic and certainly not helpless or hopeless there. Let's say a young child, you see that your young child, a toddler, a preschooler, or a child in the young grades, has weak eye-hand coordination, or your teacher reports to you, the child's teacher reports that the child is having trouble with handwriting and needs help. Again, we don't focus on the academic skill itself. We just bring home more puzzles for the child. And if the child is having trouble doing puzzles alone because the child has poor eye-hand coordination or some other perceptual deficits there, sequencing deficits or whatever perceptual deficits are operating, then do the puzzles with the child, just like you were going to read the books to the child. Open the world to the child. Just be there. Give the child sewing cards. You know, those we put two cards together in a big piece of string and you weave it in and out. Occupational therapy type exercises, or have the child work with an occupational therapist who can create a whole program of fun to do exercises. Sometimes certain kinds of classes, gym classes with the gross motor aspect, can help the child develop more of the skills that he'll need for learning. Building other skills altogether, taking the child for swimming lessons and extracurricular activities, sports activities, and so on, can build skills in the child that that will serve him well in life. And really, that's what we're talking about, helping your child to succeed in school is the goal in order to help the child succeed in life. But if you give the child success-building opportunities, like let's say the child, you've introduced a musical instrument into the child's life, and even though the child is not academically inclined, the child is very talented with his musical instrument, which, keep in mind, we said before, teaches arithmetic skills, and it requires all sorts of perceptual development, and it requires thinking and creativity. It requires commitment. And you could use those words when your child is practicing his musical instrument. I see that you're so committed to it. That's terrific. You're quite diligent. You know, I like the way you pick that up without me having to tell you. You're responsible. Well, those kinds of words, you know, committed, diligent, responsible, or if the kid is on a team sport, you know, you're a team player. All of these words will help the child be a successful adult if these words are attached to what the child is really doing in his childhood. He's actually showing all sorts of skills that will serve him well in life. Any hobby that you introduce the child to, music, sports, cooking, building, sewing, creating, collecting, whatever it is, requires a host of skills. Now, you know, the academic skills of being able to listen and attend in class, those are important skills too, but your child may be able to acquire them in different ways. Listening to music and learning all the words of his favorite song is a skill, even though you want to learn all the words to the to the sequence of history events that preceded World War, whatever. You know, the fact the child can learn what he wants to learn, that should be noted. Like, wow, it's amazing, you know, that you can remember the words to all those songs, or you can remember the steps to all those dances, or you can do that. Like, you want to focus on the child's smartness, on his ability, even though he's using it in a way that is not within the school curriculum, because if he's using it, he'll be able to use it outside the school curriculum in life. Now, you can gently suggest that those same skills would really be, you know, put to good use in his geography class or something, you know, that you know that he's quite capable, and that, you know, he could use a little bit, you know, just apply some of those skills to his biology, his geography or whatever. But making, you know, a small comment here and there, that's okay, but not harping on it as if, you know, if he doesn't apply it in that area, then his life is over. If you leave a child with the feeling that you're very pleased when the child does well academically, well for him, any improvement from that D up to a C should be welcomed and celebrated, and your strong belief that the child is capable and smart, okay, all of that put together will help your child do as well as he or she can do in school. No kid is trying to do poorly in school. You know, everybody realizes that a good mark leads to a better place, better opportunities, you know, more open doors. So even you know, kids in grade 11, whatever it is, or 10, who seem to be totally busy with their social life and not interested in school, they know that school is important. And there's peers in their class who are getting those A's, and they know about this. They're just doing what they are doing naturally to them, to their personality. And that will be fine as long as we recognize that not all children are academics. And, of course, we want to inform them when they get those very high grades and their marks are being scrutinized for acceptance to, you know, postgraduate, post-high school programs of every kind. Then we want to let them know that, you know, if they want to get in somewhere, if they want to have more choices, this is the time to settle down and look at those things that they weren't interested in before. But believe me, they were doing pretty well what they could all the way up there, okay? Unless there's something peculiar going on in your child's life, you know, emotional difficulties of a serious kind, you know, real problems that are going on that account for why the child is suddenly not doing what they are capable of doing, you can assume that what the child is doing is what he's capable of doing for real, okay? So that's your best assumption. Let's say the child has a short attention span. And again, in the younger grades, teachers are complaining that the child can't concentrate. Well, vitamins, support, you know, essential fatty acids, you know, things available at the health food store and so on. There are things that might help the child's attention span increase, including the medications for children with attention deficits. That might help. But again, not to be limited. I mean, there's you want that child to acquire lots of information even though he has a short attention span. Today, there are so many books and so many ways of getting information in little moments and little pictures and little blips. There are tons of information of every kind on every aspect that the child might need to know about is delivered in a lot of different ways. Short attention span seems to be a national plague now. It's not just for those kids who have ADD or ADHD. So, you know, don't worry about it. Just give your child the way in, again, with board games, videos, those very unusual books that are constructed now with lots of short blurbs of information. Let's say the child has a struggle with writing things. So his essays come back insufficient, you know, failing, the poor marks, whatever. Of course, you can provide tutors for all of these areas to build a child's skill up. But I'm talking about a different way of helping your child succeed. We want the child to believe that he can learn, that he can take information in, that he can use that information, and that he can put that information out. And therefore, he'll be okay wherever he goes in life, right? If he follows an academic path, like into university and into a profession or whatever it is, that'll be great. But if he follows a business path, that'll be great. Whatever, we want it to be great. The child who has trouble writing, we sometimes just benefits from working on a computer in terms of his written work instead of writing by hand. Now, it seems that there's some part of the brain that is involved when we're writing on the computer. Even if we're writing an essay on the computer, it is easier to write an essay on the computer than it is to write an essay by hand. So making sure that your kid has some typing skills, you know, might be a good way to intervene there. Or when the child is young, let him dictate his thoughts to you while you type his thoughts up for him on the computer, or you have his tutor or somebody who can support him through that, an older sibling who's getting paid, you know, 25 cents a page or something to do that for him. You know, see if you can have his words be put to paper so that he can see them come out of his head. So we've looked at reading skills, math skills, eye-hand coordination, attention span, writing skills. And we've said these are some of the academic skills that schools are trying to develop. You as a parent can help your child realize that he's capable of functioning well in all of those areas and in any other academic area. Just find the underlying skill and help your child find alternative ways to express and to receive and to use that skill. So, that's some of the things that you can do. In terms of helping the child actually function academically the best he can, the main thing is to let the child know in these other areas that you know the child is clever, is bright, is capable. Saying these words when the child has cooked something, built something, made something, told you something, shared something he learned, you know, giving him that feedback. And encouragement, of course, proper feedback for whatever he does do in school. Tutorial help only to the extent that the child enjoys it, I would say, and only to the extent that the child does not feel overwhelmed by it and bogged down by it. Don't do anything that is discouraging to the child when it comes to academics. Because if you could sit on a child with 1,000 tutors and the child's marks will go up for that year, but as soon as you remove that 1,000 tutors, those marks will fall back to their natural place. So I don't like to suggest that we work too hard at changing the child's way of being academically. Rather, try to work around it and provide some support and always keep a very positive attitude. Never say anything derogatory or negative about the child's future, linking that in a sentence, you know, to how he's doing in school. Don't make that connection for him. Always give him the feeling that he will be a success, and hopefully he will be a success.